pick up your toys, or we'll pick them up for you. Dallas gave that ultimatum to their bike share companies this week. And you know the problem. In Seattle, there are thousands of candy-colored Lime bikes, Spin, and Ofo bikes, shared bicycles that you unlock with an app, you ride it, you leave it, sometimes in people's way, sometimes on top of the Fremont Troll. It's enough of a problem that Lime Bike made a Matrix parody to tell you where you can and cannot put the bikes.
Can I park it on a street corner?
How about a bus stop?
Parking on street corners and bus stops will not be tolerated. These are risks that could disrupt the order.
What about parking next to a bus stop?
Yes, Neo. This city and its people deserve order! Order!
Wow. Okay, so the same kind of thing happens in Dallas. It's not unique to us. Dallas is taking some action on this front with these bike share companies, and here to tell you about it is Dallas News columnist Robert Wolanski. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. I understand you and your son actually play bike share bingo.
We do. Every time we travel around the city, we try to see how many we can find, because here we have five of them. So we try to
five companies
figure out if we see a mofo. Well, let's try to see if there's a mobike or an ofo or a spin or a V bike.
Did you say a mofo? Did you say a mofo bike?
If you were to merge mobike and ofo, you'd
yes.
get a mofo.
Yes. Got it.
It's hard not to call it that at this point.
It really is.
It's our nickname for the entirety of the bike share project at this particular moment.
Is that right? How bad is it? Is it when you look outside, what do you see? Tell me.
Bikes.
Yeah.
Bikes and nothing but bikes. Downtown especially. I mean, I walk a block from where I park to our offices downtown. And on any given day, I probably see in that 1 minute walk about 100 bikes.
Yeah, but what percentage of them is actually causing anybody a problem?
You know, it's hard to say. They're on every sidewalk. They're on every corner. They are in the way. And I certainly don't think that we have more than 20,000 bikes in the city at this moment. Given the fact that we had zero in August, it's a fairly quick ramp up from zero to 25,000.
Yes, 25,000. Just for perspective, in Seattle, we have about 9,000 of these bikes, and it sure seems like a lot to me. You have more than 20,000.
Lime Bike alone has 10,000.
Yeah, Lime Bike
and
alone.
And Mobike has promised to cap at 3,000. So then you add in Ofo, which is trying to drown out Lime Bike. They're at about 10,000. I know that V-Bikes, which is actually based in Garland outside of Dallas, has 2,400 bikes, and Spin has relatively few, all things considered.
Yeah, so now, back to my original beginning of this, Dallas is taking action. Dallas has sent these bike share companies a clean up or else letter, and what does it basically say?
Well, tomorrow's the deadline, and the idea was that they need to get them out of the sidewalks, especially sidewalks that are narrower than 10 feet. There is an issue clearly with ADA compliance. There have been a lot of complaints from people who simply cannot get down sidewalks, especially folks in wheelchairs. They say that they don't want them parked on sidewalks. They don't want them parked in anything that's developed. They don't want them parked on the trails. We've had a significant issue with bikes that are just being left on the trails. The Katy Trail here has been a real problem. They're just being left everywhere. And people want bike share here. There's no doubt about that. They want docked or dockless. And most people treat the bikes well. The problem is they're simply everywhere. I was talking yesterday to one of the guys from Mobike, and they don't leave more than three bikes at any given location, as opposed to Lime Bike or Ofo, which will have rows and rows and rows of them in on sidewalk on one block downtown.
And to catch our listeners up on this, when you say dock or dockless, so that Seattle used to have something called the Pronto Bike Share, but those had docking stations, so the bikes had to be parked in certain approved spots and had to be returned to certain approved spots, and now they've gone to this dockless system where, as we're saying, you could leave it on the Fremont Troll if you want. You could leave it in someone's way. And we're going to talk about specifically about the problem that some disabled people have with this in just a moment. And one more thing for context, Seattle requires companies to move improperly parked bikes within 2 hours, but the complaints go to the companies. The complaints don't go to the city. So in this way, Dallas is sounds like considering a more active role. Isn't Dallas warning that they could impound these bikes?
That is one thing that's being considered. And that, look, this is going to be probably a short-term issue. The deadline's tomorrow, but as I was told by somebody yesterday in City Hall, it's not like the dumpsters are going to come out tomorrow, or it's not like the impound machine is going to suddenly roll up and take the bikes that are improperly. They're working with each company to deal with compliance issues. We do not yet have regulations. And in fact, the city transportation department is really looking to Seattle to see what was done there in terms of the compliance and the pilot program y'all have done there, which, as we understand it, has been fairly successful. Right now, the calls do go directly to City Hall, to 311. The complaints have gone from a handful in August and September and October to 150, I believe, a month ago, to 250 this month, because people are simply getting tired of them. And one of the biggest problems is that the bikes are getting trashed. And I know you've seen that in Seattle. I know they've seen that in other cities. And my theory has long been that people are trashing them because they're simply overwhelmed by them, and they're just unhappy about the fact that they're in their way. We've seen them cut in halves and hung on bike poles and turned into art projects. They're turned into sculptures. A few were set on fire in the Katy Trail recently. People are simply frustrated by the fact that they are being left everywhere. I mean, I live 15 minutes outside of downtown in a residential neighborhood. There's a Lime bike parked at the end of the street, and there's an Ofo parked in front of my house. They've both been there for 2 weeks. There's no reason for them to be there. They keep saying that we're going to move the bikes that aren't being used, but they're not doing that. And the city is going to have to figure out some way to hold them in, to keep them compliant. They're going to make them register. They're going to probably purge them at some point, because they're, after all, using the right-of-way for absolutely nothing, for their gain. You know, here you charge restaurants $150, $250 a year to use the sidewalk if they want to have a cafe. Meanwhile, out-of-towners, many of them are, you know, VC-funded companies from China are coming to Dallas, dropping thousands of bikes, and we're getting really very little out of it.
Yes, I mentioned that Dallas, in a way, is taking an active role with this clean-up or else letter, and the complaints go to the city. But as you quickly mentioned, Seattle is taking a more active role, in a way, because Seattle issues permits to it's three companies, Lime Bike, Spin, Ofo, and Dallas just does not regulate them at all. Is that why you're up to 20,000 plus bikes?
That's exactly right. And what's going to, and I'll say this, what is going to happen, and the idea was in August, when V Bikes was the first one to come here, then Spin came, and then Ofo in short order. And this was all out of a few weeks. We went from literally zero to suddenly going, hey, look, this is great. We have these bikes all of a sudden. Because for all the city was trying to figure out, how do we do docked bike share? The problem was it cost about $6 million to do it. And the taxpayers were going to be on the hook for something that wasn't proven, especially because we don't quite have the infrastructure here, which is another issue. So Dallas said, we'll see how the market plays itself out. The transportation committee at the city council said, we'll give it a few months, see how it goes. And for a few months, it worked out all right. Then suddenly everybody started coming, and we've heard of more and more companies that want to come to Dallas as well. We're not going to end up with five. In fact, on February 26th, the council's mobility committee, which used to be the transportation committee, is going to begin the discussion of regulations. I assume that come summer, we will have regulations that will involve registration, that involve compliance and punishment and so forth. But right now, it is a free-for-all, and it's very clearly a free-for-all, which you can see as you walk around downtown or drive around the city.
We're talking with Dallas News columnist Robert Wolanski about some action Dallas is taking, a clean-up-your-else letter. Dallas is the Wild West compared to Seattle when it comes to their bikes. The city doesn't permit these bikes. They're 20 to 25,000 compared to 9,000 in Seattle. And thanks for letting us know what's going on in Dallas, Robert. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. In fact, as a thank you gift, I've sent you several Ofos.
So you have.
I hope you can use and enjoy them.
Well, you're doing us both a favor. We get Ofos, and you get now it's only 24,997 in Dallas.
I assume at some point we'll have fewer than 20-some-odd thousand bikes. We could do what our neighboring city, Highland Park, does and say that if you don't get them off the street by midnight, we're just going to impound them for good.
Right.
Then they have to come pay and get them off the street. They have to come get them out of the pound. It's $15 for every bike.
Robert, thanks for the time.
You bet. Thanks.
On Twitter, here locally, Matthew says, LOL, chill with this bike share hate. Some people will never be able to own a bike, and you want to complain because they are brightly colored, too widely available, and sometimes not perfectly parked. The bikes ruin your city, but all the cars, they can stay? That's what Matthew says. Kim on Facebook says, I would probably be fine with them if they weren't contributing to, one, general trash, and two, hostile architecture. And Terrence on Facebook says, yet another example of tech disruptor bros co-opting public space for private profits. Now, my next guest talking about what to do about bike shares is Conrad Reynoldson, vice president and founder of Washington Civil and Disability Advocate. Conrad, welcome.
Thank you.
What have you heard from clients over the last year during the bike share piloting period?
Well, a number of people have come to me, and personally, as a wheelchair user, I've encountered it myself of, these bikes that are all around that many of them, unfortunately, just end up all over the place on sidewalks, either directly in the middle or off to the side blocking, getting around them. And it's been a real problem for a lot of people from what I've heard.
What has happened to you personally with one of these bikes? What did it stop you from?
Well, most recently I was on the University of Washington campus of all places, and one of the bikes was actually in the ramp to get into Heckhead Pavilion, and I was going to a basketball game.
What did you do?
Fortunately, a police officer came by and offered to move it, so I was lucky in that case. That's probably the best example, and that just happened on Saturday.
Which bike was this? Was in your way? Do you remember?
It was one of the green and yellow ones, whichever company is that.
Yeah, the Lime Bikes. And did you call up Lime Bike and tell them what had happened?
No, I have not done so at this point.
Yeah. What did you complain to the city or anything?
No formal complaints right now. Honestly, as somebody who's a power chair user, many other people would tell you the same thing. You know, we deal with so many different accessibility issues on a daily basis that it would it'd be a full-time job just to deal with all those complaints if we complained about everything that we encountered.
Whose responsibility is it to fix this, do you think, Conrad? The city of Seattle or these bike share companies?
Well, I think it needs to be a combination, and I haven't done enough research to see whether there's a contractual relationship between these bike share companies and the city of Seattle. But looking more broadly, the program of sidewalks is considered a program under the ADA, and for the ADA, programs need to be fully accessible to people with disabilities. And so the city's program of sidewalks, it would be their responsibility to do something to make the situation better.
What's the solution you'd like to see? Do you want these bike share companies to just go away, or do you think it's realistic that they could just be kept out of people's way?
Yeah, no, I definitely don't think they should go away, and they serve some good purposes, but I think there just needs to be, better sensitivity on their part, awareness on their part. So if the city, makes it clear to them that this is a problem and they're able to work together and, put processes and policies in place so they don't leave these bikes all over the place, then I think everybody would be happy.
Conrad Reynoldson, thank you for the time.
Yes, thank you.
And we're taking your phone call here at KUOW. Our phone number is 206-543-5869. Tell us a good bike share story. Positive, negative, whatever. What is your experience with bike share so far in Seattle? Tell us a story. 206-543-5869. You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm Bill Radke, and with me now is one of the city's biggest biking fans and a well-known bicycle fan, former Seattle Mayor Mike McGinn. It would occasionally be called Mayor McSchwinn. How are you, Mike?
Yeah, and I never owned a Schwinn, Bill. I mean, that always kind of bugged me.
That's unfair.
so I'm doing good. How are you doing,
good,
Bill?
Good, Mayor. We've been talking about bikes in city rights of way. Is that the right question to be asking?
No, I think it's an excellent question. And actually, your last guest pointing out, the issues that has with people who have disabilities, and that's an issue with, you know, the width of sidewalk cafes, with obstructions like overhanging branches, you know, people who have sight issues, that's a big deal. Businesses that put out signs, curb ramps, you know, there's no question that we all have to be aware that the public right-of-way needs to be accessible to those, you know, with disabilities. And that's a collective responsibility. So the points you raise are absolutely right on. But it's also it's not unique to the bike share. And in fact, none of the issues, I was listening to some of your prior guests, none of those issues are unique to bike share. The public right-of-way is used by a lot of different things. And yeah, you have to have some rules and regulations in place and some accountability to make sure it's shared in a fair and equitable manner.
And what's your solution to make it more fair and equitable?
Well, you know, I have to admit a little bit of amusement to listening to Mr. Wolanski talking about the bike is just parked there or it's parked in the wrong place. And, you know, the kind of a suspicion that maybe we need to round up all the bikes and get rid of it. I've never actually heard anybody say that about cars. People leave their cars over the time limits and don't follow the rules. And occasionally they block bike lanes. And nobody has said we need to get rid of all the cars on the streets. What we do expect, though, is that people, that there should
be a
ticket,
clear set
of rules and that they should be followed.
But you get a ticket if it's enforced.
Right.
I don't see tickets on Lime bikes.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's where the relationship is between the operator and the city. So the city has put in, you know, has granted permits and has put standards in place, and they want to see that, you know, that the operators are working to, you know, make sure that the system's working well. But there's also a real public benefit here to these, to the shared bikes, and you can see it by the amount of usage that's out there. It's really a great way to take a short trip, far better. In fact, you know, what we know is that in a congested urban environment, a trip of 1 to 4 miles is almost always faster by bicycle than any other mode.
Right.
Faster than walking, transit, or driving, reduces congestion. And what I've seen in my own personal experience is a lot of people are riding bikes that might have never ridden them before because of the convenience factor. So there's a real public benefit here that we have to keep in mind.
Mayor,
and I think that's been a good thing for the city, and you can see how many people are using them.
Former Seattle Mayor Mike McGinn, hang on with us, if you will, and listen to this. We have a call. This is Monroe in Duval, not Duval in Monroe. Welcome to KUOW. What's your bike share story?
Well, I don't have a bike share story. What I think that, you know, it's the users are the problem, not the bike share people and not the city. I mean, it's the users are the ones that are leaving them in all the spots that, you know, are wrong, inconvenient, or whatever. You know, they have an app that they're the last person using that bike. You know, they're the ones that are responsible. Go get them.
Yeah. Is that fair, Mayor McGinn? It's not the bike share company is just setting us up to be human beings. And if we're lousy human beings, then that's whose problem it is. That's where the fault should lie.
Yeah. And unfortunately, as we know, you know, we were talking about all sorts of violations in the right of way that occur by all sorts of users.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have to have an accountability system in place. And they do have an app. And, you know, I think the bike share operators, if there are people who are always, you know, making not following the rules, then they should do something. But we also have the ability to tell each other to move the bike. That's not a good place to leave it. So I think with something new, there's always have to be some new norms established. And I think your radio show here, Bill, is a benefit. I mean, I really appreciate your prior guest pointing out to people things that, you know, if you have good sight and you can walk well, you don't understand the things that a disabled individual has to go through. So I appreciate that you're bringing those concerns forward. And, you know, hopefully people are listening and adjusting their behavior.
Thank you, Monroe. We have a call from Lee in Madrona. Lee, what's your bike share story?
Well, where I live in Madrona, there has been a bike sitting on the corner of my block down from my house since Friday of Thanksgiving weekend. it's a yellow bike, an Opel. I've called them 3 times. They've said they'll come out and move it. It's still sitting there right now. So I think the city needs to get involved a little bit more, the city council or whoever, and make these people stick to the rules. And in fact, I'd like to know what the rules really are. How often do these bikes have to be moved? How long can they sit there?
You know, Lee, there are bikes that are, as we discussed, in people's way, in delivery trucks' way, in the way of people in wheelchairs. And then there are bikes that are just sitting there, harming no one, some of them entertainingly arranged on top of a stop sign or something. What? Why is the bicycle that's been there, there unused for a long time, why is it bothering you?
Well, my question is this. If the bike is sitting there since Thanksgiving weekend and we're into February, what's the need for it? What good is that bike doing just sitting there? I see it as a visual pollution as far as I'm concerned. I don't mind that we have the program and that people are using them, but I think the companies need to be a little bit more responsible in tracking them, where they are and how long they are sitting there.
Lee, thanks for that. Yeah, that's vivid. A yellow, bright yellow Ofo bike that's been sitting there since Thanksgiving. But we still, former Mayor Mike McGinn, we still have this issue of a subjective judgment about what looks like pollution and what doesn't. You could argue that that unused bike, that's the bike share company, that's Ofo's problem. That's a profit. That's profit going untaken advantage of for them.
I don't know what the rules are that the city has with the bike share companies regarding the length of time they can leave them in any one place. It's certainly, you know, elevate that to SDOT or the mayor's office. We always read every letter carefully when I was mayor to look into that. We know that a car can only be in place for 7 days. And if it's a really ugly car, I can't do anything about it. So, you know, I think that these are, again, the types of regulations that we're sorting out as we move forward.
Here's a call from David in Bellevue. Welcome, David. Do you have a bike share story?
I do. It's more of a general acknowledgement that we're in a bike revolution, and either Seattle accepts that and becomes or maintains its world-class city status, or they turn their back on being a world-class city. I mean, you've got better building facilities, you know, showers and lockers, et cetera. You've got better infrastructure to get around. You now have an e-bike revolution going on, and you have more and more people biking to work and around for errands. Allen Institute, for instance, they have upwards of 20% of their employees are biking to work. And so the point is this: if you turn your back on bike share because you don't like the way they look, well, that's just not going to be the end of it. The bike revolution is happening whether you like it or not, and Seattle should find a way to accommodate bike share rather than just complaining about the eyesore.
David in Bellevue is on board. He's in the saddle. David, thank you very much. We have time for a call from Diane in West Seattle. Diane, what's your bike share story?
Hi, my name's Diane Feely, and last Friday, my 87-year-old mother, who has a walker, was walking with my dad in Ballard's Market Street and got tangled up in bikes with her walker. She spun around, fell backwards, hit her head on the sidewalk, and is in Harborview with brain damage. So, no, I'm not really fond of these bikes everywhere. No.
Diane, I'm sorry to hear it, and I hope she recovers well and quickly.
No, she won't.
Thank you for calling, Diane. We appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, former Seattle Mayor Mike McGinn, there's a vivid story. This is not for some people, this is not just a question of whether the bike looks nice where it's lying down or it doesn't. But as we said, this can be dangerous.
It can be. And people really do need to be careful where they leave the bikes. I almost feel like you should get our mutual friend Knute Berger on one time. You know, the introduction of automobiles to city streets and what that meant and how people responded. And, you know, we adapted to them, and some would say we didn't adapt very well. And we take a look at how many deaths occur every year and fatalities occur due to automobiles. So this is a thing that, you know, as with automobiles when they were introduced, we're going to have to figure out what are the rules and what are the standards and how to protect people. I think we actually did a pretty bad job with autos, and I think there's an opportunity to do a much better job with bicycles.
As a matter of fact, our mutual friend Knute Berger is going to be on Week in Review Friday. That's tomorrow.
Ask
right
him
here.
To research the. Ask him to give you some stories about the introduction of automobiles to city streets full of people walking and biking and maybe even on horseback.
Will do. This is the former mayor of Seattle, Mike McGinn. Thanks a lot, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you for telling your stories of bike share as the city of Seattle grapples with what to do about the convenient transit option versus the inconvenience or even danger of bikes being left where they may. You've been listening to The Record on KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information. Back in a moment.